Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says.
Why do you need prophets to tell people who you are and what you want?
If you can justify everything that the God of the Bible has done, then you can justify any of your behavior.
A lot of this mentality is trickling into what is now mainstream right-wing Christianity.
I am capable of empathy greater than this God of the Bible.
This is a Bible that they tell kids. This is the good Lord. This is the good book. He is fantasizing about murder, mass murder.
Head over to sacrilegiousdiscourse.com right now to find out how to leave us a review or support us on Patreon.
Husband!
Wife!
Do you know what we're doing today?
Well, last time we read Matthew chapter 8.
Sure as fuck did.
Yeah, and in that chapter, we had Jesus curing leprosy.
He did.
And then he cured a Roman servant / slave.
He did.
From afar.
He did.
From a distance.
He was over there. Superman laser eye power.
And then there was like demons all over the place.
There was demons on every street corner.
Yeah, and specifically down in front of like a cave or something.
You couldn't throw a rock without hitting a demon.
And the water. And then he took the demons that were in those two guys.
They were in the tomb.
And he infected a whole, herd of pigs.
Yeah.
And then he drove the pigs into the sea and they died.
And then the town was like, yeah, thanks, bye. Get the fuck out of here.
They didn't like that much. They did not accept Jesus that day.
They did not take Jesus into their heart. No. They took Jesus out of their town.
I mean, he killed a lot of pigs. That's a lot of bacon, you know?
Well, they don't eat bacon, but those other people might
have. Well, that's what I'm saying. If they didn't like Jesus, maybe they weren't, Jewish.
I don't know what they were, but they were not fans.
Right.
Let me tell you what they weren't.
Killed their pigs, you know?
And there was a guy that was shepherding those pigs. That was his herd.
There was two guys.
Yeah. And they just lost their job
right.
that day.
Exactly. That's not cool.
Nope.
That's not a good thing.
Nope.
Just to undemonize two guys. Why didn't we hear the follow up from those guys? Why didn't we get their backstory?
Right.
We should know more about them.
I want to know about them.
Just had demons taken out of you. What's up? How did that go? What was that like?
Tell us that story.
I want to know more about this.
What's the before and after?
Right.
What's it like to have a demon?
But no, we just move along. He puts the demons in the pigs, and then the pigs die, and that's all we get.
Could you still have thought process when the demon was inside of you? Did you know what was happening and going on around you when the demon was inside of you?
See, I think that would an interview with the mm-hmm. ex-demons
yeah.
would have been very appropriate, I feel.
I have a lot of questions.
Right, as do I.
Like, how did it feel
when Jesus took the demons out of you and put them into the pit?
Did you feel empty afterwards? Did your brain feel overstretched?
Right.
Was it a thing that was just in your head, or was it like in your body too?
Do you think you'd want to be a demon again?
Right?
What was it like? The whole thing. Anyway, that was Matthew chapter 8.
Pros and cons of being possessed. Go.
Right.
Sorry, yes.
Which means that today we're going to be reading
Little Maddie chapter 9.
All right, let's do this.
Okie dokie. All right, we are getting to know Little Maddie chapter 9.
Okay.
What the fuck is Jesus going to get up to in this crazy chapter?
I don't know. Maybe he'll kill some falcons with demons or leprosy or I don't know.
Remember last time when he got on a boat? We forgot to mention that.
He's on a boat.
He's on a boat, motherfucker. Yeah. So Jesus stepped into a boat again, I guess.
He did. Okay.
Still,
okay.
All right. Some more.
Yeah.
Crossed over and came to his own town.
His own town?
His own town. This is my town.
Is this Bethlehem?
It could be. Nazarene.
Or something?
I don't know.
Like, I don't know. Which one is his town?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just going to keep reading.
Does it have a sign that says Jesus' town?
That is a good question. Just for geography's sake, I think we should answer that in the Q&A.
Right.
Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. As you do.
Right, yeah.
I drag men on mats
to people that are paralyzed all the time.
When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven."
Okay.
Do you like how I gave Jesus a Texan accent?
That's good, yeah.
Yeah. At this point, and you know that it was Jesus because it's in red ink.
Obviously.
Yeah. I forgot to mention that.
That makes it real.
Mm-hmm. At this point, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. Knowing their thoughts, however.
Oh, he can read thoughts too. Oh, that's right. He's doing the thought police thing.
Jesus said.
Yeah.
Jesus did not like that, I don't think. But this is what Jesus said in red ink.
Okay.
Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? I think that there's more to that sentence and that the rest of it goes, bitches.
I feel like that, you know, I don't know that we, there might be stories of him having a girlfriend, but if he does, this is probably why he doesn't.
You know? Why he doesn't have a girlfriend. Or
it's not a big thing. Cause like if you can read someone's mind, that's just
Jesus.
Not cool.
I told you to stop reading my thoughts.
Right?
I'm like, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? He asked. Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat and go home.
So just because he says that he has the ability to forgive sins, they should believe him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just know that they're good then.
I guess.
Their problems are solved. They've been saved. They're going to heaven.
He had to make him be walkie for them to believe about the forgiven part.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because he's like, I know that you're paralyzed or whatever, but don't worry because your sins are forgiven.
Okay.
And they're like, excuse you? That's rude. You're blaspheming. You can't just walk around forgiving people. And Jesus is like, fine. I mean, I thought it was just enough to say you're forgiven, but okay, get up and walk too. So then the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe and they praised God who had given such authority to man.
So, but my question here would be, wouldn't God have been the one that caused him to be paralyzed maybe?
Well,
or
I mean,
could have been involved in it at the very least.
Everything does come from God.
That's what I'm saying. So like if he, the whole thing
it's a circle.
Boggles
which
my mind.
Came first, the chicken or the egg?
Right.
Which came first, the paralyzed or the unparalyzed?
Well, like, and people are like, well, people deserve the things that they get. And I'm like, so a child with leukemia deserves that?
Then? Obviously.
Is that something they deserve?
Obviously.
Okay.
My nephew deserves type 1 diabetes.
Right.
That was diagnosed when he was 2. Obviously,
sure.
He deserves that.
Right. And I mean, that always bothered me. Like I don't think people really put a whole lot of thought into the whole God is in control of everything and creates this whole plan. And the plan includes
it's an ineffable plan.
Killing children.
Yeah.
You know? Like even today.
Yeah.
If we're going with the whole God plan thing.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a really bad plan, honestly.
No, it really does.
Yeah.
And I would love to be on board. I've said this multiple times. Let me be the judge of if it's a good plan or not.
I mean, I don't think anybody should really get to be the judge, but you should be able to judge for yourself whether you think it's a good plan.
Well, I don't know what the plan is, but I can't imagine a plan good enough that would involve murdering children.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And I don't even like kids that much.
I'm going to need a lot.
I have 2 and I like those 2, but I don't like much more other children.
I'm going to need a very thorough and nuanced reason why we have to kill children.
Yeah.
You know, like you're really have to get into the weeds on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God, you know.
It's true. As Jesus... Oh, we're entering a new little section.
Oh, okay. All
As right. Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him.
Wait, hold on. Is this the book of Matthew talking about Matthew, the tax collector?
I wonder if this is a different Matthew or if this
but
is
he's
the
a
Matthew.
Tax collector.
Right?
And he's going to follow him. So is this literally the book of Matthew saying, and he found Matthew, and now
who
Matthew's
is
following him.
Right?
Which is Matthew.
He found Matthew, which is
that's just
I'm
weird.
The Matthew.
It's really weird.
Yeah. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, and it's in red ink,
right,
so you know it's real.
Right.
It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners.
Okay.
So basically he's like, I know tax collectors and sinners are so grody, but I'm sitting with them because they need me more. Like, he's basically agreeing with them that they're grody.
Sure. And that's all well and good. But if he's there to help because they need help, right? They're mm-hmm. they're sinners and they're bad people or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But for the most part in the Old Testament, if you were a bad person, you were just fucked.
Yeah.
Like you didn't get to be redeemed.
You got exiled.
At least not that I was aware of. But now, even before Jesus dies, mm-hmm. Jesus is like, oh, I can redeem you.
Yeah.
I'm going to redeem you. Mm-hmm. And that's a very bold statement.
I
get that he's saying he's the Son of God and everything. Mm-hmm. But
think of all the other prophets running around at the same time, and they are probably not preaching anything like this.
Or they are. Who fucking knows? Nobody knows what.
But this is a crazy message, though.
Comparatively speaking to what we were used to hearing.
As compared to the Pentateuch.
And look, I like the idea. Like, one of the things that used to appeal to me about Jesus was that he tried to bring up the lower, the less than,
you knew of Jesus as a child, being raised in a non-religious home where
right.
the only thing you knew about Jesus is, I think he's a good guy who takes care of the downtrodden.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and that
aspect of it seems admirable, mm-hmm. but it also, like, if we're taking this in context of the whole Bible thus far, mm-hmm. it's a little, like, this is really weird.
Yeah. So you're having to reconcile two different takes on this. One is as a literary critic.
Right.
How this fits into the greater story. Overall, versus how you feel about, but do you like this guy? Does that sound cool? Yeah, I guess it sounds cool. Yeah.
I mean, you know me pretty well. I feel much more compelled to give people the benefit of the doubt than you would. Right. Like, so I kind of lean towards that. Yeah. Bring the bad people to me and let's see if we can figure out common ground and work from there.
That's how I operate.
I'm not saying that's how people nuance. Have to operate.
You have a much greater understanding of nuance in society than I do. That is true.
Sure. And I'm not saying that that's for everybody. I understand, you know, I also agree that, you know, punch a Nazi, right? Like,
yeah.
There are levels of shittiness.
Obviously. It's nuanced, you might say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not hugging a Nazi, and right. you would never make me try to hug a Nazi.
No, never.
Fuck Nazis.
Right.
Go on.
I don't remember what I was getting to, honestly. We were just talking. I understand what Jesus is trying to do, right? Trying mm-hmm. to get those people and speak to them and
yeah.
work with them. And, you know, that makes sense to me, and it seems like something that's very admirable to do.
Yes. Yeah. I approve of this Jesus activity.
Right.
Even though I don't like him going, tax collectors and sinners, I know, right? They're so grody. But, I mean, I am trying to help them, those grody fucks.
Right.
Like, I just don't like that part. All right. Now we're moving on to a different thing.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Then John's disciples. Oh, remember John that Baptist? He was in jail.
Yeah, that's right.
I guess he's not in jail today.
Well, at least his disciples aren't. This just says his disciples.
Yeah. That's true. You're right. You were paying better attention than I was. Then John's disciples came and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? I'm like, who gives a shit?
Is this a contest?
Right?
Who can fast the most?
Why do you care? Would be my answer. Because everything was on display back then, remember? Everything was very performative. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Jesus answered, and it's all in red, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast.
Okay.
No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved.
I have no wineskins.
I've seen
a wineskin before.
Any idea what I just read, except for I did get the part about like putting a patch on a torn garment that
I think he's saying something, and I could be wrong here, but I feel like he's saying that he's the Son of God. They haven't gone through the whole thing yet, and they're not going to fast until after they've completed their mission or whatever the fuck they're doing.
Oh, okay.
Now, again, I could be completely off here, but that's kind of what it sounded like to me.
Okay, so he's saying that these kids are still new. These are the new kids on the block. They haven't been tested yet. They've only just joined up. They don't know anything about all this shit.
Well,
he only just gathered them.
That and Jesus has got a thing. He's got to die, you know, and they've got to be there to witness all these things happening. Like he's got a purpose, and they're going through that purpose right now. They'll fast when they're done.
Got it.
Or something. I don't know.
He's got to work them in.
I'm sure it means something.
Well, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the patch will pull away, right? That makes sense. You got to work that patch.
Yeah.
So that's what he's saying. He's got to work them in.
Sure.
Okay? He's got to... They're not ready for all that fasting shit.
Right, right.
They were just
fishermen and taxmen.
That's what I'm saying. He just did Tucci Gang.
Yeah.
Okay, if y'all have not seen that SNL,
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's from SNL. It's one of the Do Not Destroys that Pete Davidson did with them, and it was like a pre-recorded skit. And they were like, for whatever reason, like everybody just loves Stanley Tucci, which of course I do. And so this song was Tucci Gang, Tucci Gang, Tucci Gang. And it was the funniest thing. Every time I bring it up, you're always like, I don't know what that is.
I think I kind of remember.
And then I show you and you're like, oh, yeah.
Right.
Anyway, he just picked up his Tucci Gang.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, go watch that because it's fucking hilarious. And I love Pete Davidson. But anyway, whatever. I don't care. All right. So he's like, they'll get there. Don't worry about it.
Right.
Which, I mean, that was a better answer than I would have given, which is, why are you worried about it? Fuck off. Mind your own.
Right.
Get off my dick. Don't be...
I feel like that would not go over well in the red print in the Bible.
Get off my dick.
Yeah, that would not probably...
I don't know. I just feel like everybody's always asking too many personal questions. Like, why are you blah, blah, blah? Like, the answer is, why do you care? Like, what if we just don't be snotty at each other?
Right.
I know I sound like a villain from like an 80s cartoon. Okay, next section. Ready?
I'm ready.
While Jesus was saying this, a synagogue leader came. Uh-oh. This guy is getting in Jesus's face.
Okay.
And knelt before him. Oh, he's
not. That's
not
getting in his face.
No, he's not. Never mind. He's not getting in his face. He's getting in his lap. He knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. Aw, he's cute. He's like, will you help me?
Wow.
He's a synagogue leader.
He just casually walks up to someone. Can you bring this person back to life for me?
Bring me back to life. I messed that song up so bad. I was singing two different songs and I tried to mash them together. And in my head. Like
back to life.
Nope. Okay. But that was good, though.
Right.
That was good. Yeah. That was not what I was doing.
Right, no.
No, I was doing Evanescence.
Oh, okay.
Yep, and nobody can do Evanescence, so why did I try?
Goofy can.
Oh, my God. I can't get up. I can't wake up. Oh, my God.
Is that Evanescence?
Yeah. That's so perfect, and that's exactly the song that I was trying to do. Goofy did it so good.
He did.
I can't wake up. So good. Oh my God, that's another clip we got to try to remember to share in the Discord.
Right.
Which, if you're not in Discord, that's sad for you because you're going to miss all of the fun links that I share over there.
Right.
And we're doing this live in Discord, which we do every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern on Discord.
Yes.
Anyways.
You should be there.
So,
is what wife's saying.
Oh, yeah. So the synagogue leader, he's like, oh, no, my daughter just died. Bring her back to life, would ya?
I can't wake up.
Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years.
What?
Jesus Christ.
What the fuck?
I mean, okay, listen. You're saying what the fuck? This is real. Like, women, you know, they have periods, right? And normally it's like your 5 to 7 day cycle once a month, right?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
every 4 weeks, right? That's the perfect thing.
Right.
There are women who have various issues. And I shouldn't say women, people with ovaries and fallopian tubes.
Sure.
Sorry. Who their shedding is like a continuous thing. People with endometriosis or other conditions where they constantly bleed.
Right.
And it's a thing. So, sure. I mean, it's only been within, I don't know, I'm going to be generous and say the last 100 years that women have been able to like control when their cycle, like via medications or surgeries or whatever. And I keep saying women, and I apologize. I want to be more inclusive. It's not just women. It's anybody who has a period. So this is a thing. So, yeah, if I had been bleeding for 12 years, I would come up to Jesus, too, and be like, fucking help.
Right.
Like, I mean, not to get TMI, but I'm gonna anyways. Like, I had issues where my period was getting very, very painful, and it was not good. And so I was done having kids. And the last time I'd had a kid, which was Kid, who we reference often on this podcast, they tore my shit up. So
right.
I was way done. So I had a hysterectomy, and that stopped me from having those. So, like, I'm very sympathetic to... Like, I heard you laughing. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, like, get offended at you. But, like, this lady's like, I've been bleeding for 12 years. And you just were like, what the fuck? And I was like, wait, no, actually, that one could happen.
Right.
Sorry.
No, that makes sense. I guess I'm just, it's just the way that things are presented in the Bible.
Yeah. Like, my daughter just died. I've been bleeding for 12 years. A man on a mat is paralyzed. Yeah.
Right.
It's like, there's no... lead up. These are just like instant character have sympathy.
Yeah.
Like again with the bad
writing. And moreover, like what is the vetting process for Jesus curing these people? Is there a vetting process or is he just willy-nilly cure anybody who comes to him with a problem?
It sounds like
if you got a problem, yo, Jesus
will solve it. Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like anybody who approached him and got voice time with him, he was in.
I mean like it sounds like there's not really, except for that he can read minds apparently. So maybe he is vetting, but like internally, I don't know.
Oh, but look, I didn't read the rest of this. Let's read the rest of this lady that had been bleeding for 12 years.
Sure.
She came up behind him and she just touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Oh, she was like, I'm not trying to bother him.
He ain't even got to like intentionally heal. He can just like. You just got to touch his cloak.
But she felt like she didn't want to bother him. She's like, surely if I just. You know, only just touch his cloak.
I feel
it'll
like I've
fine.
Seen this represented in an image before, like the woman crawling
the cloth
up behind
of Turin
him,
or something.
No, like the woman crawling up behind him and pulling on his. Mm-hmm. I feel
that's
like I've
probably,
seen that image.
That's probably what that
right.
art is depicting.
Right.
But Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. She was like, "You're so good that just whatever you're wearing, your robe will help."
Okay, the next question I have here.
And the woman was healed at that moment.
Right,
sorry.
Right. So, okay, these people are getting healed, right?
Left
they're
and right,
all
up
all
and
over
down.
The fucking place. They're
dogs like, and cats living together, mass hysteria.
And Jesus always says it's because of their faith, right?
Yeah.
But yet they have to. Oh, I'm so fucking stupid.
What?
They have to come to Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not just their faith. It's that their faith leads them to Jesus.
Oh, what a bunch of shit.
Right?
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's man.
I love the light bulb just went off over your head. That's amazing. Oh, I wish y'all could have seen husband's face. Oh, yeah, they all came to Jesus. It's not just their faith, though. It's that their faith made them come to him.
Sure, sure. But it still seems shitty, right? You have faith. You already have faith because mm-hmm. Jesus is telling you, you got faith.
You gotta have faith, faith, faith. Gotta have
but
faith.
But in the Bible, though, in the New Testament here, you have to show up and like ask for the. My God, I'm saying all of this. It's literally right there.
Yeah.
This is literally what
you
people.
Have to come
this is what,
to Jesus
this is
and
what
ask.
Fucking Christianity is. This is exactly what. Yes. You have to come to Jesus to. The.
You have to come to Jesus and ask him to heal you.
I fucking hate this.
I love this. This is so fun. The people have to come to Jesus.
No, I'm getting it.
And they have to ask him specifically.
It just didn't like go off in my brain until just now.
It's not just their faith.
This was just like literally just happened in my brain. I'm like, oh, they literally have to quote unquote come to Jesus mm-hmm. and ask for the forgiveness / healing and all that.
Yeah.
And this is literally happening in real time in Matthew right now.
Yes.
Okay.
And then they got a hold of it and were like, oh my gosh, we can make this symbolic. Literally, that's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep.
What?
They laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, Jesus went in and took the girl by the hand and she got up. News of this spread through all that region. The girl with the 12-year period is not the same as
No. This is the dead girl.
The dead girl was the synagogue leader's daughter.
But they said that she was asleep.
Jesus says she's asleep, not dead.
Okay, so I'm going to go with she was asleep.
I mean, they all thought she was dead, though.
Yeah, but
you don't believe in magic?
No.
This is straining incredulity too far for husband.
Look.
His way to healing a sleeping beauty, he also healed somebody with endometriosis.
I feel like these people are wanting to see miracles.
Yeah.
And so they are. That's what I mean. And even at that, we're trying to imagine that these are based on real stories, mm-hmm. which they probably aren't.
I mean,
they probably aren't. They're written after Jesus is dead.
Okay, that's true. That's fair.
These are stories, at the very least, secondhand stories of something that somebody told somebody else.
That's true. That's true. All right, next section. Ready?
Yeah.
As Jesus went on from there, two blind men following him called out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." Wait. They're just like son of David him?
Well, yeah. I mean,
great, 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 great grandson of David.
They're still trying to.
These two guys just walking around. They're blind.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you person over there that I can't see. Hey, son of David.
Well, I mean, Jesus had crowds of people following him around, so they probably just heard the clamoring.
Mm.
They're like,
okay.
Oh, it's like the Beatles coming down the street.
Stop. Just now you were telling me absolutely fucking not. I don't believe in that. And now you're like defending it.
I'm defending that there was a crowd around Jesus, probably.
And two blind guys.
Heard the crowd.
And they're like, hey, son of Jesus.
Sure.
Or son of David.
I can believe that.
When he had gone indoors, the blind man came up to him, Jesus, and he, Jesus, asked them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. I mean, wouldn't you say yes?
I mean, if you had seen him cure leprosy, well, they haven't seen him do shit.
Well, there's a reason they came after him.
They've heard about him.
There's a reason that they were like, hey.
Right.
They're coming after him for a reason.
Right.
They want to be healed.
Right.
So wouldn't you say yes, whether you believed it or not?
Sure. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They're like, hey, they're saying this guy heals people. The crowd is like, they're saying this guy heals people. So the blind guys are like, huh, I wonder if you can heal my blindness. And so then they're like, hey, son of David. And so then they like elbow their way to the front of the crowd and they're like, hey, have mercy on us, man. Heal my shit.
Right.
And then Jesus is like, do you believe what I'm able to do? Wouldn't you say yes?
Well, yeah, you would say yes, but also apparently God can read people's minds and hearts, so.
I know. That's the other thing. I don't know.
So this sounds like he's not going to heal these guys.
I don't know.
Because they're not true believers.
Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored.
Oh, I guess they were.
You just have to say yes.
They were good to go.
You just have to say yes.
Okay.
Jesus warned them sternly. See that nobody knows about this. Don't be telling people. Actually, he said that in the last chapter, and we had questions about it, which I do have answers to that.
Yeah.
When we get to our Q&A over this section.
Okay.
So, all FYI, that is a question that will be answered.
Okay.
So he's like, don't tell anybody. Stop telling everybody about all my fucking miracles that I'm doing in plain sight.
Right, right.
But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. I said ha-ha, but I meant womp-womp. But honestly, same thing.
Right.
All right. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk. So many demons.
Man.
Swear to God. This was an amazing time period. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. Where'd the demon go? Did he go into more pigs?
What did he infect with that demon?
Or did the demon just be like,
maybe these were lesser demons. They were just like the you can't talk demons.
Can't touch this. All right. So this mute guy spoke then. Okay.
Okay.
The crowd was amazed and said, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel.
Nothing.
But the Pharisee said, it is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons.
Oh.
Mm,
they're saying devil.
Yeah.
Devil got to him, huh?
Yeah. And remember, I did in the Q&A over the Sermon on the Mount talk a little bit about the Pharisees. They were the ones that were like the rule followers, but only the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law. So they weren't like really feeling it.
Sure.
So they like pretend that they're all into the whole religion and faith thing.
Yeah.
According to this is what the Pharisees are according to the people of the Bible.
Well, isn't that kind of what the whole revival of Christianity is right now? Like, I mean, when I was younger, it felt very much like Christianity was very perfunctory, and mm-hmm. like you go to church, you check mm-hmm. that box, you come home, and you might read a Bible verse another time during the week or something, but that's about it, right? That's how you do church. But now we have all these like very charismatic and influential pastors and priests and things like that mm-hmm. that are trying to reinvigorate religion by making it hit home, closer to home, and more heartfelt and more personal, right? And it's not great. Like I don't think it's a good thing.
No, it's not good.
Because it's actually very they're pulling at strings that are very divisive, you know, and but it's a similar act, right? These people, the Pharisees were the perfunctory group, and mm-hmm. Jesus and all these other people that were like Jesus I mm-hmm. Were being all, they're like, no, we've got to feel this religion. This is real. It's coming right now. The end is nigh. Holy shit. Like they're making it real and present as opposed to just a ritual.
I think a way that you could summarize everything you just said is that the Christian political leaders of today are Pharisees.
That's not exactly where I was going with that, but I was saying more like the Christian leaders of old were Pharisees.
Mm.
The new batch of Christian leaders, if you want to call them that, are more in line with this like reinvigoration of the religion.
They're all the false prophets running around town.
Kind of, yeah.
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 I can get down with that.
Right.
They're either false prophets or Pharisees, all of them. How about that?
Right.
I'm not down for it either way.
Sure.
I hate it. Jesus is just all right with me for the most part, except for his stance on the queer community, he can get right fucked with that.
I'm holding off any judgments until I make no judgments until I hear the whole story.
Yeah. So. I'm going to say up until this point, Jesus is just all right with me.
And I still already have some issues with Jesus still.
Yeah. So. I mean, obviously, women were still chattel and owning humans for slavery. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Leave the pigs alone, man.
I mean, how about if we just leave each other alone and leave everything? Just be nice. Just don't be a dick. Oh, my God. It's just not that hard.
Right.
Okay, we're going to bring this home now. Ready?
Sure.
Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, meaning afterlife,
right,
and healing every disease and sickness.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, that's not very quiet and sneaky.
No.
He wasn't trying very hard to keep things on the DL.
No.
When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples in red ink, here we go.
Okay.
The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. The end.
Hmm. So he's trying to recruit people?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's saying, damn, there's a lot of needy people out here to grift. We need to get more people in our Ducci gang.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think there's something, to go back to the demon thing real quick,
mm-hmm.
I think there's something really dangerous about attributing mute to demons mm-hmm. and attributing all these things to demons or
it's something. It's all physical ailments and mental illness is everything right. like that is a demon possession.
Right. So essentially you're saying that if it can't be cured, then you just don't have enough faith and then... Mm-hmm. You literally will ruin people's lives because these things can't be cured through faith.
Right.
And they might grow up in a way where they are made to feel lesser because mm-hmm. they have these afflictions, these things that they...
Or where the people around them feel like these afflictions were self-wrought and what's wrong with you, that you can't heal it.
Sure. But in reality, though, you know, you can live your whole life... as someone who cannot speak and still have a full and rich life, as mm-hmm. long as people don't treat you as lesser than.
Right.
Right. There are ways to live that life and be just fine.
Yeah.
But in a religious community, you get to, you might be made to feel lesser than because you are that type of person because of these ideas that are in the Bible where you obviously have a demon in you. You obviously have something wrong with you, you know, spiritually, you know, like you are not fully spiritually developed. You need work instead of just you're a good person. And like, why can't we just treat people like people and not throw in evil to things we just can't explain?
Right.
That's such bullshit.
No, I totally agree. It's a very dangerous, slippery slope that slides right on into eugenics, you know?
Right.
I mean, it does.
I guess.
No, it does. When you start talking about people with what you define as an ailment, and you decide that we don't want those in this society, if you have them, then that's evil. We need to get rid of them. And if Jesus can't cast it out, we sure as fuck will.
Well, I feel like that would almost be sacrilegious because mm-hmm. if you use eugenics to do that, you're not allowing God to make that decision. You're letting people take that job away from God.
But the whole eugenics program was, it was buried under this ledge of white Christianity.
And oh, sure. You can bury anything. You can use Christianity or religion to justify or not justify pretty much anything you want to.
Yes.
So...
But that's what I'm saying.
That's not true, right?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, when you start calling ailments evil, then you can take it upon yourself to start doing the job for God. Because God's right. not, you know, kind of like how Americans are like, well, Jesus is too woke, so we'll just do things our way. Like, you see what I mean? You can decide Jesus, God, whatever, isn't doing it fast enough, hard enough, or the way I want it enough. So I will enthusiastically take on that work for Jesus or God, and I'll sure. just go ahead and, you know, start being violent or getting rid of the people that I have decided are not things that Jesus wants.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I guess that, I mean, it could make sense either way, really.
Mm-hmm.
But which is, again, more cherry picking, more you can take it however you want to take it. But
just another reason why religion is dangerous.
Absolutely. So that was Matthew chapter 9.
Sure as fuck was.
And I think we still have one more chapter. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that means that next time we'll be back with
Little Maddie chapter 10. Oh. And then we will follow that with our Q&A covering chapters 8, 9, and 10.
All right, we'll see you then.
Bye.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.